There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Next 2 hours, live local talk. And, of course, you're a big part of the show at 343-0106. Also on the text line. And I mentioned just a second ago on Twitter, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson joins us in just a second. I do want to say this again. Said it yesterday during the show and then this morning during the morning show. Y'all are top shelf. Really, really great. I hope you've gotten a chance to go to our Facebook page or my Twitter feed and take a look at the pictures of what y'all bought for the Families of the Fallen Float Project. We've talked about this project with 27 folks on the first float in the Floral Parade will be the Families of the Fallen Float. 27 family members of law enforcement that had been killed in line of duty, one injured, and had to medically retire. Their family members, 27 of them on this float. A float donated by the Mobile Mystics. Once again, hats off, Mobile Mystics. Y'all are great. And y'all, the FM Talk 106.5 audience, and the city at large, even those of you that don't listen, I don't know why, but the city at large, all working together. But I mean, just what, 2 days ago, we had $1,000 donated here on the show to buy throws. Go look at what y'all bought, because I got pictures here from last night when they were assembling all the throws that are going on the float. It's impressive. A lot of stuff. They will have a loaded float as those families go to roll at the head of the floral parade on Saturday, and y'all did it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go check out those pictures. All right. Mention that. Get right to it. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson joining us to start off Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, Mayor.
How are you, Sean?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm ready for some Mardi Gras.
Yeah, me too. It's here.
Well, yeah, but you're officially ready because when you second line and you hold the umbrella, then, I mean, you're way more official than I am.
That's right. That's just one of the honors the mayor has.
Did you, I mean, you practice there for dancing with the umbrella? How do you work on that? Do you work on that with the missus? How do you do that?
You know, Sean, the first time I did it, I'm not sure how it all came about. But, you know, you just step in there and start doing it.
Hey, it's good. You've refined your technique. I like it. And also, I got to do this because I'm looking at my text line right now. Before we go any further, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson on the air with us. Do you want to announce that you're running for anything?
Yes, I would. I'm not sure that's the right way to phrase that. I'd be glad to announce that I'm not running for anything. I'm glad to be the mayor.
Okay.
And I'm appreciative of all those that want to run for the Senate and run for the House seat, but I'm not interested.
You're not running for Senate 2020, not running for AL1?
Nope.
Okay.
I am not.
Okay, well, that's one off our list. All right, Mayor Stimson, let's get down to talking about the city of Mobile. But this actually goes into the bigger narrative of what's going on in the state, as Governor Ivey yesterday made her plea for gas tax increases planned for infrastructure. And I know it was some weeks ago, you and the other mayors of the big cities in Alabama, the Big Five, met and came out of that with a endorsement or support of infrastructure improvement through a gas tax.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, a lot of conversation. Our conversation had more to do with assuming there was a gas tax, how that would be, you know, equitably split. But we came around, and I'd say it's unanimous that we are in support of an infrastructure bill. We have not seen the bill. There's been speculation about what it looks like. But each of the mayors, we recognize how crucial it is to invest in infrastructure if we're going to continue to prosper and grow.
Yeah, okay, there's several parts of this, and you brought one up there, too, how that, what is an equitable split? And I think that may be one of the bigger challenges out of what happens in session starting next week in Montgomery. But let's go back to the municipal side or our side here in Mobile. What does that mean? Where, like, give me an idea, if this goes through, what this means for the city of Mobile with projects or LDOT project, or is it projects that are outside that get people in and out? I mean, is this something that would help Airbus? Is this something that helps the sortation centers? Kind of explain what those extra dollars mean. If somebody's here in Mobile, city of Mobile, or even extended into the county, what does it mean?
Okay, so there's several aspects of it, but I'll break it down. First off, the port. The opportunity to have the port deepened by the Corps of Engineers has got to be matched by local dollars, local meaning state dollars. So we have to match 1 to 3, so it's a 25% match for that project. And if that project were a $1 billion project, the state has to come up with $250 million. There is no funding mechanism in place to for that match unless you have an infrastructure bill, otherwise known as a gas tax, passed. And so there'll be no deepening of the port if you don't have it. If there's no deepening of the port, we won't be able to take in the larger cargo ships, which means it will stifle the growth of Walmart and all the other logistics companies that are here doing business in the port. So it's absolutely crucial and so beneficial to the city of Mobile and the state of Alabama from that aspect alone. But then when you think about, when I start thinking about the roadways and the highways, the state highways especially, you know, there is no funding mechanism to really address what is the deferred maintenance. And this is the only way that we know of to create a funding stream to fix all the stuff that's broken. So that's how Mobilians are going to benefit from it. And I also would say this, Sean, that after we pass the capital improvement plan, everybody has seen the impact of fixing broken drainage, broken roads, asphalting roads. And I would contend that some of the great things that are happening in Mobile is because people are excited about seeing things fixed that hadn't been fixed in decades. And if we don't have a new funding stream, you're not going to see what needs to happen for us as a community and the state for us to grow.
You talked about, I want to go back to the port for a second here, because I'm looking at quite a few texts here, and people are saying, well, why for the port? Maybe it's worth going back a little bit here in history, explaining why the port would need to be deepened and widened. What's going on with the ship channel, and how does this play into the Walmarts and Amazons and things like that? What are we talking about? Why do we have to have a deeper port?
So what's going on in the shipping industry is they're larger ships. The larger ships have a deeper draft, and they draw more water. The depth of the channel that we have now prohibits the large ships from coming in. So from a just pure economics standpoint, of supply and demand, and the economies that you get from being able to ship more containers on a single ship rather than on two ships, is what's going on. So it's going to help the container port because they'll be more efficient, and it's only can come about by deepening the channel.
Now, the money can't be, somebody's asking, why can't this money come from another source? Don't they charge fees? I guess he means the Port Authority. Is there another mechanism? Is this the only way the port gets money?
There is not another mechanism in place to generate the match that will be required. Let's just say if we have to match $250 million, if that's the number, and you do it over a 20-year period, there is no funding stream to do that. And you certainly can't cut expenses somewhere to think you're going to generate a funding stream to do that.
So there is, and this would be money. So with this match, this $250 million, you're saying that there could be, there's the remainder coming from the feds, right? This would be federal money, one of these things, and we've got to match 25% of whatever Senator Shelby can get for our state.
Right. So let me, when I say $250 million, what I said was a hypothetical cost of $1 billion.
Okay.
you know, the deepening of the channel may be $800 million, of which we would still have to match 25%.
Okay.
So it may not be $250 million, maybe $200 million, but regardless, it's still no funding stream available to do that without an infrastructure tax.
You know, as the mayor of Mobile, you need to, you know, you have one discussion about it. Obviously, it makes a big, big difference down here for the port. But I also realize it makes a difference for the rest of the state. Who's carrying that message? If you're trying to get somebody who lives in Scottsboro, Birmingham, or, you know, wherever, away from us down here in Southwest Alabama, how do you explain to them that it's worth their gas tax money going to this?
Well, there'll be a lot of money that goes to the counties, distributed across the state, so every community will end up benefiting from this. And I think it was yesterday that Mayor Tommy Battle made the comment about what's good for Mobile and the port, and Mobile is good for Huntsville, because so many goods traverse through the port, either from an import standpoint or an export standpoint, and that's part of the lifeline for the state of Alabama.
And for that reason, I agree with you. I think that case has to be made up in Montgomery for sure. And we're coming right back. More with Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson right here on Midday Mobile. Got a couple other questions from the text line. We'll get those answered. Plus, I see the new text. Yes, we will talk trees and the Tiger Grant. Speaking of federal grant money, when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, continuing our conversation with Mobile's Mayor Sandy Stimson and talking about a handful of things. I do want to go just a second more here on this infrastructure issue and tax for the gas tax. You mentioned part of it, Mayor, that there's going to be a probably the biggest debate on who gets what between a municipality and a rural area, right? I mean, y'all are ready for that.
Well, Sean, our conversations with our split is with the county, okay?
Right.
Of how the money is split. I can tell you that the county ended up with what we thought was a disproportionate share. But we're okay. You know, we recognize that a gas tax is so badly needed that we're willing to take what will be the proposed deal in order to get something rather than get nothing.
Okay. So let's talk about the next level. Counties, let's say metropolitan counties, a county like Mobile that has a big city in it compared to a Bullitt County or some small county elsewhere in the state. I imagine they're going to fight and claw for as much of this as they can.
Yes, and I think that's been resolved, though, now, as far, depending on what the amount of the tax is, I think that you'll hear very little conversation between this the cities and the counties saying whether it's fair or unfair.
Okay.
And I believe we're past that hurdle. We're willing to accept what the governor proposes.
Okay.
And we're going to go forward and we're going to support her and try to make this happen.
Let's move to this. Actually, kind of goes back to the discussion like you had about the port, where you have federal dollars at play. But this one's not brand new. I remember, it's been a couple years ago, maybe, that you were in here with me talking about this Tiger grant that the city of Mobile had pursued. Y'all pursued and finally caught that Tiger a couple years ago. What is a Tiger grant? And then kind of walk us through how it's being applied.
Okay, so the Tiger grant. Really, the grant proposal spun out of Bring Back Broad, because for decades, citizens have realized that Broad Street needed to have a different look, needed to have a different multiple means of transportation, like bicycle paths and so forth. So on our third try, we were able to get the grant, and it was a competitive grant. It's $14.5 million. And part of that grant proposal, and the reason we got it, is that it was about connectivity, of connecting people to the jobs. And the jobs specifically mentioned were those that would be created at Brookley because of the aviation sector that's growing there. So we won that grant, and so then we ended up having to, you know, they're matching dollars from the state and things that the matching dollars from the city that have to be put up. So all in all, it's about a $21 million project.
Now, and this is good for you to explain, and you have explained it before, but for people to hear, because often they'll say, hey, why are we, why does the city have to do it this way, that way, and the other on different projects with grant money? And if you get a grant, right, they kind of set rules. You decide whether you want to abide by those rules or not get the grant. You do have to stay in constraints. You just can't use that money on whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, there are guidelines, and when you submit your plan, it will be approved or disapproved by, in this case, the Federal Highway Administration. And so, you know, you do your plans, you submit it, and they sign off on it. And if they don't like it, then they don't sign off on it, and you won't get the money. I mean, they won't distribute the money. Even though you won the grant, they won't distribute the money unless you meet the requirements set forth in the grant.
So how does this intersect with the latest discussion of Live Oaks coming down in the city of Mobile? Where, how does Tiger Grant apply to that?
So, can you repeat that real quick?
Well, just wondering how, explain to folks, because they're now, back to talking about, you're talking about taking down some Live Oaks in town, and yep. This has to do with the Tiger Grant. I want you to connect that for people.
Okay. So, part of the process that you go through is a community engagement. And also, you have to recognize that when federal dollars are attached now, there are different kinds of mobility that they're interested in, and bicycling is one of them. So as we engage the community in multiple conversations about, you know, what the biking community wanted and what the pedestrian community wanted, what we needed to do for the Americans with Disabilities Act. So you take all of that input, and then you start figuring out how do we take what everybody wants and squeeze it into what is the existing corridor or the right-of-way. And so compromises have had to be made. And part of those compromises are that trees had to be cut down in order to squeeze everything into what was a finite space available in right-of-way. And okay, that's why we're having to cut down the majority of these trees.
I mean, is it overly simplifying to say that some of these trees have to be cut down to be able to retain the Tiger Grant?
Yes, no, okay. That's exactly right. That's not oversimplification. It's just the truth.
Like the money we're talking about, all the other things will not come to pass if some of these trees aren't cut down.
Well, let's just take the bicycle lanes. Okay, if we went back to the Federal Highway Administration and said, look, you know, we've got several oak trees that we can't cut down, therefore we can't have a bike path. Well, that's going to be frowned upon. Matter of fact, and I'm not going to predict what they do, but my gut tells me that they're going to say, well, that's not part of this grant. You've got to have bicycle lanes. And so, you know, we're not going to distribute the money.
So the total trees I've heard the number move around. Is it around 60? Does that sound right?
Yes, I think that's correct. You know, about half the oak trees that exist and that part of the corridor will be cut down, and about half of them will remain.
So afterwards, I also saw that there will be, it's not going to go, people say, oh, it's going to turn into nothing but concrete, but I saw in one of the plans somewhere that there were going to be appropriate greenery planted, something, the wording was like that, appropriate or...
Absolutely. I mean, there's over 200 trees that will be planted back in the corridor, plus the 60 that will be remaining. It will not be a concrete desert. There'll be more green space. It will be aesthetically pleasing. And so I think there's some individuals went and tied a ribbon around every oak tree and said all these oak trees are coming down. That's disingenuous. It's not correct. And so, you know, we're trying to, that's why I offered to have the walkabout and look at the plans and look at the trees so they'd understand exactly what's coming down.
Yeah, you had said the folks that were worried you would walk with them and identify the... you're talking about individual trees that are coming down. You'll go walking with them.
Yeah, we'll walk the corridor. What we're probably going to do, Sean, is schedule a meeting because we have everything on Google Earth. And so what we'll do is you can look at every single tree and, you know, from the satellite view or from the road view. And so we can talk about every single one of them, you know, from my office, or we can do the walkabout, whatever they want to do.
Once again, I'm seeing people that are saying, this is trading what for our oak trees? Once again, talk about, I mean, the number, what is $14 million in federal grant money?
Yes, and $4.5 million of state money.
All right, so it means, so it's $19 million to the good on the city that's going to do exactly what again? What is it going to change?
Well, it's going to change, it will change the look of the corridor. It will change the traffic pattern in that corridor. I mean, because we're narrowing the lanes, we have an on-street parking in parts of it, so it will be more pedestrian-friendly, bicycle-friendly, and traffic-friendly, really, from that standpoint. The synchronization of the traffic signals, the goat that allows the traffic to flow smoothly through there. But above all that, it's connecting people to jobs at Brooklyn.
And that's the idea, to get people down to Airbus or whatever side companies may come along with that.
That's correct.
All right. When are you? If somebody is interested in doing the walkabout or looking at the trees or seeing the Google Earth stuff, do they just need to contact your office, or how do they do that?
What we offered was with Bill Boswell to get 10 people, you know, to come to my office, and we'll have all the maps and we'll have the computer to be able to look at everything. And we're hoping that the representatives that he puts together will be able to spread the word, you know, of what they've learned there.
All right. And I want to get a second here before we wrap up, and because there's an announcement you made last week about the new precinct opening.
Yes. That's really a great move for downtown Mobile. The police came to me and said they had figured out a way to double the size of the manpower downtown, make it what is kind of a full precinct manning standpoint, but it's going to be dedicated to officers that will be riding bicycles, riding the Segways, and riding horses. But it'll be a captain down there in charge, two lieutenants. And so really, it's a major move for downtown to provide the protection that our citizens and visitors expect.
Mayor Simpson, thank you for your time. Happy Mardi Gras, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson joining us. I know a bunch of people wait to talk gas tax, and we'll do that when we get back after the news break right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Such love in the air. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. On the positive front, once again, y'all really awesome, awesome, awesome. All the donations of cash and throws that came in for the family of the fallen float. Now those families, 27 people, as they ride on Saturday at the front of the floral parade, will have tons of throws. The nice thing is the ROI is good for us, right, as we man the barricades and get some of those throws back. And look like pretty good throws. You want to see the pictures of what y'all raise the money for. It's on our Facebook page, also on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Or if you're on Facebook, just look for FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook. And speaking of which, while you're there too, you can check out Cottage Hill Packages page on Facebook. They got a really cool event coming up tomorrow night. The first of all, this brewery out of Madison, Alabama, Blue Pants Brewery. It's just fun because the name of the brewery is Blue Pants, and pants is a fun word, isn't it? It's like maybe not as fun as trousers, but it's close. But yeah, tomorrow this starts and goes from 6 to 8, another free event at Cottage Hill Package. You've got Blue Pants Brewing Company and Mark Twain Brewing Company. Representative from both breweries going to be on hand to let you sample the following. Their Blue Pants Amber Ale, their Hop Bursted IPA, their Chocolate Oatmeal Porter, their Pilsner, plus Mark Twain Brewing's Huck Finn Habanero, Apricot Wheat Ale, the Rambler's Red Ale, the Tom Sawyer's Blonde Ale, the Clements Kolsch style ale. All those for sample from 6 to 8 tomorrow. That goes on most weeks. If you check the schedule, there'll be an event like this on a Thursday or a Friday night at Cottage Hill Package Store. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Of course, like I said, just find them on Facebook. Make sure to like the page Cottage Hill Package. You'll get updates on all these events. Or go to their website, cottagehillpackage.com. But the tastiest way to do this is to just go there in person, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. It's Cottage Hill Package. Get ready to go for Mardi Gras. And get a couple beverages here for maybe Joe Kane's Sunday or Fat Tuesday, something like that. Be ready to go. All right, we'll grab a call here, plus a text coming in. Oh, yes, somebody says, let's cut the trees around Mobile Country Club. But there's not a Tiger Grant for that. This is one of these questions, and it's good. It's good to bring it up. And like I said, this is not an echo chamber, because sometimes you could say that's probably a grant we shouldn't chase. Remember, we've talked about that before. I mean, Gulf Quest and things like that. In retrospect, people go, "Well, gosh, I shouldn't have chased maybe that grant money." And other projects, people say, "Well, absolutely, you should chase the grant money." I-10 Mobile River Bridge projects, a grant money project. So is this Tiger Grant, which, by the way, is not a brand new story. This is 2 years old. They've just been working on the plans. So to improve Broad Street and Beauregard right through there means that to fit within the definition. It's just like when somebody said the other day they ought to just shut Gulf Quest down. Remember in the city council back in September, we're talking about they were angry with the Stimson administration for keeping it open and having staff. Well, by the letter of the grant contract, you have to keep it open and have staff there. I don't like it either, but you have to do that, or you have to pay the federal government back all the grant money. Sometimes it's just not as simple as black and white on this stuff. Same thing with the Tiger Grant. You know, I would say that other than having very bad sidewalks, like when we're walking back from Broad Street toward Augusta on Sunday night, pretty sketchy right there with the sidewalks being buckled by the live oaks. But I grew up here, man. I love the live oaks. I'm a fan. I like seeing them adorned with Mardi Gras beads and not adorned with Mardi Gras beads. I've got live oaks on some family property that I dearly love, those live oaks. But is it, you say, no, we don't want to change, we don't want to do any of these improvements, which with state money and federal money combined is almost $19 million for the city. We don't want to do it because we don't want to take down these trees. Which, by the way, too, if you can get a chance to check out the podcast of, last week's Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast with Bill Finch. Don't take it from me, take it from Bill. He'll kind of walk you through the history of live oaks and how we probably should have never planted those alongside the road in the first place. Since they do that thing that living things do, they grow. All right, to the phones, and phone number, once again, 343-0106. Paul is in Mobile up first. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Sean.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras to you, and I agree with the mayor. We need the money for the widening of the ship channel. I listened to your show the other day where you had your experts on talking about the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about it for about an hour. And it was curious to me that nowhere was it ever mentioned the most fair way that we have of taxing people in Alabama was never mentioned.
Well, you're going to talk about property tax, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't we want to do the most fair way of taxing people? Something that people don't like. They don't like being taxed. So why shouldn't we do it the most fair way?
Yeah, well, here's my thing on the gas tax for roadways. To me, it's a user tax. As you use more of the roadway, you pay more of the tax. To me, if I'm going to sign on with anything on a tax, that one makes sense.
Well, you understand why the grocery tax is regressive.
I do.
Understand why a sales tax is regressive.
I do, but you heard me the other day when they suggested the swap would be, remember, coming out of one of the think tanks or ideas in Montgomery is, okay, well, they would only agree to a gas tax if we removed some or all of the sales tax on grocery. And I said, I am so torn in this situation because you know that I am a proponent of getting rid of the sales tax on groceries. I've been that way ever, since this show started. So I'm a fan of that. At the same time, I go, wait a second, if you're telling us you don't have the money to do the things we need to do in the state, and you're going to trade the tax that I believe should come off groceries, I like that, but you're getting rid of that so you can have the gas tax, aren't we still short the money? Am I missing something here?
Well, listen, the sales tax is regressive. The sales tax on food is more regressive.
Well, it's my favorite one to talk about.
Gas tax.
It is.
Gas tax hurts the poorest people.
It does.
And again, it's like the sales tax. What happens when everybody has an electric car? Or what happens when the economy goes down and you don't have that sales tax or gas tax coming in?
Well, and the issue is why we can't bond things around here. You have trouble bonding things because they don't like to, you don't like to bond off of things you can't project revenue-wise.
All the more reason to do, you understand that somebody driving through town, unless they stop and buy gas, they're not paying that.
Right, but they'll say, but okay, let me play devil's advocate. This is fair enough. They'll say, well, we got a better chance of getting some of that revenue. Those that would argue, okay, that the gas tax needs to be increased because, like a lodging tax, right? You got a chance to get people's money from elsewhere. So they're driving through here. They're going through Buc-ee's, and they're going to drop some gas tax revenue here, and they don't live here. So they'll just drive one time, but they'll pay a bunch for it.
If they don't buy any gas, they won't pay any tax at all. But
correct, but most
property,
of them...
But if we raised our property tax, every time they stopped and bought something, it wouldn't even have to be gas. They would pay property tax.
Now, just
everybody
like, sure.
pays property tax. Nobody escapes paying property
now,
tax,
we understand
whether
that.
You're a renter or you're homeless.
Well, we understand. Well, maybe homeless. But everybody else I pays
even
it.
Even homeless people go out and buy stuff. They buy groceries. They buy whiskey.
Yeah.
They buy something.
That's good. You're saying that in the bottle of Ripple, in the bottle of Ripple,
in property tax,
in every bottle of Ripple or strawberry quencher, there's some property tax in there.
Absolutely. The people who sell that, they
of course
they
I know that.
How
Paul, I understand. You don't have to.
They pay property tax.
I'm just having a fun joke about. Yeah, fortified wine. Fortified with property tax. Thank you.
I hadn't had enough Mardi Gras fun to understand that one yet.
Well, get with me after this big weekend, and you will. Just new such and such wine, now fortified with some extra property tax. That's what hits you hard. Whoa, man, feel that that property tax is kicking in there, boys. Let's go to Rodney in Fairhope next. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, what's going on? I listen to your show a lot. This is my first time calling in.
Well, welcome in, man. Thank you.
Well, I've called before, but, I'm a Republican. I have to work for a living, so I can't hang around and wait too long.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was calling in with the fact that every time they want to raise taxes on something, they never do it fairly. You know, they're going to run to the smoker. They're going to run to the drinker. Now it's the gasoline tax. I think if they're going to come up with a new tax, because no doubt they're going to take the money and use it to try to pay for the bridge, which I don't agree with
that's
the toll
not,
either.
No, that funding. Well, that I want you to go on with your thing, but that's actually not true. The funding that has been allocated by LDOT's share of the bridge project is already locked in and done and spent. So this is not unless everybody at LDOT in the state has absolutely lied to me. That's not the case. So, but let's go on. Let's talk about because you're on a roll. I'm with you on the smoker tax and the liquor tax and talk
well,
to me.
Well, and now they're chasing after the property owner. Or they want to. Why don't they tax the population as a whole? I have yet to see nobody that did not buy toilet paper. Why can't we put a tax on toilet paper?
We already
that would
do
be more fairly.
We already do on the we have full freight sales tax. Anything you're buying at the grocery store, we got full freight tax on that. You're paying if you're here in Mobile, if you're in the mob town with me, you're paying 10% on your toilet, on your Charmin, on that stuff that's like a down comforter. It's so soft. You're paying
an additional tax to it to come up with the revenue they need, so they tax the population as a whole.
Wait a second. A specific excise tax just on toilet paper, like on
correct.
Top of the regular.
Correct.
Hold on, Rodney. I'm writing this down. This is so. What percentage do we do? 2%?
I don't know how they would do it, but that would be fairly. Everybody, it don't matter if you own an automobile, whether or not you own property, whether or not you smoke. It doesn't matter. Everybody's going to wipe their behind.
But so, the problem is, though, They'll avoid it. They'll avoid it. People will get bidets and avoid this.
Look, it's just a thought, to be fair, across the board.
I hear you, Rodney. And I appreciate your call. Don't be a stranger. Call back sometime soon. All right, going right back to the phones at 343-0106. Just like they said, the reason they had to charge a toll on the tunnel is that people would avoid paying to go across the bridge if they could go through the tunnel for free. It would be leaky, they said. In this case, it would be leaky, and the fact that bidet sales would be huge. Big time.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, this bidet conversation is getting some traction over on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. It's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And grab some calls here, and plenty of texts, even a few of them that I can read on the air, coming in. Let's go to David next in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, if we start taxing toilet paper, I'm going to start running a bootlegging operation for contraband toilet paper.
Would that not be awesome to be a bootlegger and be running, and in this case, we're running toilet paper? Can you imagine the first the revenue officer who pulls you over? What you got in there? Nothing, sir. Let's take a look in the trunk here. Open it up. I knew it. From when I walked up, you were hauling some serious weight of Charmin in that thing.
Yep. Anyway, I want to talk some trees and some tiger grass.
Okay.
I kind of see both the points of both sides here. I'm not somebody that likes to go around just cutting down trees just to cut down trees. But at the same time, I understand that Broad Street and the Beauregard corridor need to be redone because, I guess the volume of the traffic was there when they made it the way it is, but the volume of the traffic is not there anymore. And if we can make our city more pedestrian and bicycle friendly, even though we don't have Lime Bike anymore, we need to do that because those are the kind of amenities people want when they move into an area. And if you have those amenities, it's going to make your property values go up. It's going to bring in more restaurants and stores so that people are going to want to shop at. It's just a good thing. So that's something that we need to do. And it's not like these trees aren't going to be replaced with trees that are probably more native to the Mobile region than live oaks.
Yeah, well, and live oaks, I mean, I know you're a fan of Bill Finch like I am. There were some live oaks native, but not in most places. Actually, historically, and people go back and catch the podcast of his show or when he's been on with me, actually palm trees. You think about Antebellum and even post-Civil War, the palm trees were what lined many of the streets here in Mobile, and not live oaks. So it wasn't, this thing that's been here since 1703. That's not the case. So
exactly, and like I said, to Paul's point, if we can increase property values by offering these amenities that people want when they move here, then guess what? Property taxes are going to naturally go up. And to answer Paul's question about property taxes, the reason why you don't ever see a politician propose property tax increases is the last politician that did, $1 billion Bob, got voted down.
That is true. David, appreciate the call. And by the way, y'all will be able to catch David next week as he co-hosts Midday Mobile. I think it's going to be on Thursday. We'll talk more about that. Of course, David and Carter, two guys that stepped up the other day, each cutting $500 checks to provide throws for those families on the Families of the Fallen float that will lead the floral parade on Saturday. So much respect to them and the whole bunch of y'all. The number of throws and additional cash, over $2,000 donated. Y'all are awesome. The number of throws, you can go see the pictures that we put up on our Facebook page. Just makes me very happy. You know, it's funny, somebody said something else about the traffic on Broad Street and Beauregard. Yeah, things have changed. It's less. I thought about how the city has shifted. We're heading to Callahan's on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, the family and I. We loaded up the family truck, sure, there we go. And we decided to, instead of coming straight through town like we normally do, go the interstate, because I said, yeah, there might be stop and go and parade track, whatever. Let's go to the interstate. So we went the interstate, got off the interstate, got on South Broad and came up that way. And, if you look at the true Broad Street down there, I mean, it was built to be broad, I'm sure, to be fancy and big, big houses lining it and all that. It's just a tribute to a different time, right? When that was probably a very, very busy corridor. Now it's busy, but it's more busy with residential. Although now all of a sudden, people will be using it again to head to Airbus or place other places down at Brooklyn. But it's just a dollars and cents question on that. You got to answer it for yourself. It sounds like a lot of people on the text line think it's not a worthwhile trade. $19 million for 60 live oaks. Because whether it be Gulf Quest or that or Tiger Grant or any of these other projects, all I want for y'all to do, don't have to agree with me, but just know the facts on these stories. That may not change your mind at all, but know the facts. Like when people say, why don't we just shut this thing down? You know, they talked about Gulf Quest, or why don't you just do this with it? And I said, that would be neat, but you can't because it's tied to a federal grant. Same thing with the Tiger Grant. They don't just say, here's the money, you can do whatever you want with it. You have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Now, it's incumbent upon our leadership to make good calls and pick ones that are good and walk away from deals, just like President Trump walking away from a deal or something like that. Well, they got to do the same thing, walk away from a deal. But some of these, you could argue, in the past we've done, have not turned out to be good deals, but something that puts infrastructure in, I mean, isn't that what we're talking about with the gas tax? Puts infrastructure in at 25% of the cost of doing it with the municipality. All right, we grab a few more calls here before we head to the next hour. Coming up next hour, lots to do on the show, and we're going to talk about some events coming up in March because, by the way, tomorrow is March and a literary festival coming up in mid-March. We'll get more details on that. Oh, somebody's saying, what's the breakdown on the tax? Oh, if you didn't catch it yesterday, Governor Ivey has proposed the 10-cent a gallon tax. Although, here's what's going to happen. There's an incremental system here where you have, you know, like a bigger number hike in year one, and then like 2 cents in year two, 2 cents in year three, that kind of thing. It's a 10-cent increase, be phased in over 3 years. So yeah, I think it is. I think it's 6 cents year one, 2 cents year two, 2 cents year three, coming up to the 10 cents a gallon. Opposition, and that number's not near as high as what one of the numbers I heard was like 24 cents a gallon. So it's a 10-cent increase that the governor's talking about, but there's still plenty of opposition out there. So get ready to start hearing, I'm sure, some ads here at FM Talk 106.5. I know there was a PAC formed, I think, this week, Stop the Alabama Gas Tax PAC. So, by the way, if they need our address, can y'all send it to them? I'm sure they'll start running some ads to tell you why we don't need the gas tax, and I'm sure there will be groups out there and PACs out there that port the gas tax, and we'll place advertising here to do the same thing. And we'll see what happens with this. You have the Republican Executive Committee voting to oppose the gas tax. The winter meeting, they voted to oppose it. But you still have Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. You have Speaker McCutcheon both supporting the gas tax plan, the same gas tax plan that was rolled out by Governor Ivey yesterday. So there it is. Believe me, this still has to, Session hasn't even started, which is still humorous to me on the years that it falls this way when legislative session in Montgomery starts on Fat Tuesday, like it does this year. But yeah, session doesn't even start till next or this coming Tuesday, and we're already debating this. We'll see what they do with it in the halls of the Senate and the House, which, by the way, too, I think I've mentioned this the other day, and hopefully we'll have a date certain going forward. Gonna take this show, Midday Mobile, and we are going to head north. Gonna go do the show for a couple days from up on Goat Hill in Montgomery. So as soon as we figure that out, we'll talk about that more. We'll get some live streaming and get a lot of our local delegation on the air with us. All right, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad you're here.